there, everybody. It is Wednesday, February 8th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us an email. Send it on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all the fun things happening with our dog and pony little gay radio show. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, because we sure as heck like you. We're doing a very special Valentine's Day edition of This Show Is So Gay. We're going to welcome our first guest. Hey, first guest, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let me introduce you. Emily Wilcox is the author of 100 Lesbians Walk Into a Bar, Real Women, Real Questions, Real Answers. She is a relationship coach and advice columnist whose words of wisdom have been found everywhere from Curve to FHM to Hear Media's Ask Emily, just in time to make sure our Valentine's Day is as fulfilling as possible. No pressure, Emily. Emily Wilcox, welcome to The Show Is So Gay.
Thanks, Ken. That was a great introduction. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, then that's why they have me do it for you. I'm here to help. All right,
you're hired.
Yay. Is this a paying gig?
This is it, of course.
Awesome. I love this. The best interview of the day. We have so much to talk about. Emily, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm nervous, but I'm ready, Ken.
Oh, never. Never nervous for this show. Well, let's start off easy. How did you, Emily Wilcox, get into giving relationship advice? Did you start out on the playground advising your classmates? Trace it back for us.
I've always been kind of obsessed with relationships. Why we're so, like, tortured, you know? Like, it's always, like, so complicated, you know, and difficult, and we take so much in, and then, you know what I mean? It just always really fascinated me. I have no idea why. I was born an idiot, I guess.
Nice.
Get into this practice, but, you know, I spent a lot of time looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
And so I finally realized I wasn't going to get it out there in the world. It wasn't going to, you know, that wasn't going to happen, you know? So it took me a very long time to finally say, okay, I better start loving myself before I can get anybody else to even come near me, clearly.
Easier said than done.
It is very hard.
It's very hard.
You love yourself, Ken?
I'm working on it. We'll get there when we get to the advice portion of the show. I'm not emotionally there yet in the interview. Now, are you the one that your friends turn to and they say, oh, God, I have such relationship problems. I got to call Emily. I got to ask Emily.
You know what? Unfortunately, I'm like the person who has who owns like a pickup truck.
Nice.
Call you like when they need to move the couch. You know.
That's not even a metaphor, is it?
No, it's really not. It's really not.
You really do have a pickup truck.
Well, it's covered. I have a truck. But
okay.
It's covered.
So you're the one. You're the one they call and they say, Emily, you got to come over. I got to move my stuff and tell you about what happened.
Yes, they do. And then I sit there for hours and. Eventually, I had to start writing books because I just wanted to hand them out instead.
I can't come over today, but buy my book. It's on Amazon. Now, there are a lot of relationship experts out there. How do you differentiate your voice from all the other ones? What would you say that you do differently?
Well, I think so many self-help books tend to be just kind of depressing. I mean, you know, they're helpful, but,
yeah.
But they're not fun, and they're not interesting to read. You know, I mean, I've read... you know, a million of them, and they're all, you know, a lot of them are great, but it's like, you know, I don't want everything to be so serious, because the minute we take ourselves too seriously, we're really in trouble. I mean, what are we really here for? You know what I mean? Like, is life supposed to be serious? I mean, I don't
right.
think so.
But no, I don't think so. Talk about your process. So you get a question, and then what? Do you weigh the pros and cons? Do you ask around? Do you consult a deity? What's your process for answering a question?
Well, my process is really from my own education on relationships and my own experience. So, you know, I took a lot of seminars. I became a life coach. I built a practice. And,
nice.
So it comes from everything, all the knowledge that I've sort of gathered, you know. So, you know, and really every question, my response has something to do with self-love.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you're. Have you read my book, Ken?
I have. It's right in front of me. I have it highlighted and dog-eared and everything.
What do you think of the photo?
I love the photo. I love the. Do you not love the photo?
I don't, but that's okay. I can. I'm working on that.
I love the photo.
So at the end of the day, I'm better looking than that photo, Ken.
Well, then that's even better. I mean, stop trying to change me, but come on.
So all the questions, all the answers that I give really come back around to self-love, because the truth is, no one would be asking my advice or anybody else's advice if we really just loved ourselves completely. Because if you're in a relationship that you're questioning, you would sort of automatically have that answer if you had this sort of complete love for yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
What you are going to tolerate and what you aren't going to tolerate and what is right for you and what feels right, you know, trusting your own instinct and all of that. So I think when I answer people's questions, I just trust my own instinct, and I try to do it in a way that doesn't make them wrong, because at the end of the day, we all have so many flaws. I mean, I have more problems than Syria right now, you know, but you know, we work on them, and there's nothing wrong with being flawed. We can
right.
still be in relationships. We can still be in love. There's nothing we need to fix about ourselves to be lovable. And I think that's my biggest annoyance with the world. Like, people think like, oh, I got this. I got to fix myself. No one's going to love me like this. It's like, you know what? We're all messed up, and it's okay. And especially women, we're all crazy. I mean, we're all crazy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask, now, in one of the funniest setups that I've ever had for a question in 4 years of this show, talk to me about lesbians. Because I am not – I should come out on the show right now. I am not a lesbian. That's not my identification. Do you find that lesbians are more tortured in their relationship questions?
You know, it's like when you deal with females and females – there's just double the drama.
There you go.
But, you know, but problems in general in relationships are all really so similar,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether you're dealing with, you know, gay, straight, bi, whoever, you know, it's we're all, you know, morons, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until we're not, you know.
Now, how did you come to put this all together in a book? Because I have to tell you, it has been kind of a blast as the dean of students at a college, having a book on my desk for the past couple weeks that reads very boldly, 100 Lesbians Walk Into a Bar. My students have noticed it, and they've picked it up, and they've read it.
Great. That's good. They like it?
They love it. How did you come to put all this together into a book?
Well, I used to write, I write, you know, articles, I write advice columns, for different publications, as you'd said, but, I was writing a column for Hear Media, called Ask Emily, and it was solely for the lesbian community, and I wrote for them for a few years, and I had so many people writing to me, and I had such a great little fan base, you know, I mean, somebody out there liked me for like a minute, and so I just decided to compile all the best of questions and answers into this book, in hopes that they would help people. I mean, I had people my own family, you know, of course, like my family only buys my book, but you know, the non-gay people in my family seem to say like, this book has really helped me. This book has really made me think about my own life and really made me, you know, happier. You know what I mean? That's the point. Like, don't we want to be happy?
Absolutely.
You know, so that's what I did. I just compiled a bunch of the best questions and answers so that I thought if I can get people to be happy, then I'm done, you know?
Like, absolutely.
That's what I want.
And I have to say, and I read the title before, not just 100 Lesbians Walk Into a Bar, but the postscript, the subscript, Real Women, Real Questions, Real Answers. The book just reads very real. Like, you can hear you saying it. You have such a distinct voice in answering these, and I love it. Because by the third question, I have a sense of like, oh, I know what she's going to say. Now, can we go through – you certainly don't have to give me word for word what you said, not even close. But I want to go through some of my favorite questions in the book and get some of your off-the-cuff responses.
Okay.
So this is these are three of my favorites. We're going to do three of my favorites. Dear Emily, 7 months ago, my partner broke up with me. I've gotten over her for the most part. I've even been trying to date again, but I am also truly terrified of being hurt again and opening myself up to possible rejection. I'm in a rut. What can I do? Signed, Lonely in Langston, and also Ken, the host of this show, is okay.
Well, who's not afraid of rejection, Ken?
Right.
Have you been rejected before, Ken?
Yes.
Okay, well, haven't we all, right?
Right.
So then we let that stop us. We're like, oh, well, I'm not going to go out there again, you know, because that's what happened last time. Or I'm going to make sure I'm not vulnerable because that's why I got hurt. We somehow think like we showed our real selves and that's why they didn't like us. But the truth is, who knows why they didn't? Who cares why they didn't like us? You know,
right.
I mean, there's not, we can't all like everybody all of the time. You know, there's, you know, people you relate to and people you don't. You know, we shouldn't be taking rejection so personally. I mean, because it really has nothing to do with you at all, Ken. Really, Ken. It wasn't that dinner you made that was terrible. It wasn't, you know.
It was too much rosemary. Wasn't it the too much rosemary?
Maybe it was.
It might have been my favorite line in your answer for that one. Your rut sounds like a lot of fun. That's awesome. And now I have to tell you, this is my favorite question in the whole book. Favorite question in the book. Dear Emily, because this is such a sign of the times that we're living in right now and how weird computers have made dating. Dear Emily, I have been with my girlfriend for 3 months. Everything was going great until last week. I looked at her MySpace page. First of all, the problem is that she has MySpace, but I looked at her MySpace page and she is listed as single. I had never looked at her page before last week because she's hardly ever on there, but she is not single. I'm adding the inflection. I am her girlfriend. We were together last night and she told me that she loved me. I haven't said anything because I don't want her to think I am snooping around. I can't stop checking it though. Why, Emily, is she listed as single when she is in a relationship? What does this mean? Signed, Snooping in Suburbia.
People have such problems, then, don't they? I mean, isn't it just riveting? I think I'd responded something to that person about getting a life.
Yes, you did.
And that it's called MySpace, not our space.
Right.
Wow. Don't you think it's funny though with the whole like single and it's complicated and it's like shut up.
That's such a thing. That is such a thing, and it works in both directions too, because it's not just if you see that the person is still listed as single, it's that if they change their status too soon, whatever too soon means, oh gosh, they put I'm in a relationship. It's a little too soon for them to be saying that, isn't it, Emily?
It's so absurd, isn't it? I mean, do we really care that? I mean, are we really, and first of all, if we're in a relationship and we're so afraid to like say we're in a relationship or put it in our Facebook page, then there's a problem in the relationship.
Right.
There's a problem because you should be at this point, if you're going to put it on your Facebook status, then you should be open enough with this person to know, like, by the way, I'm going to put this in my Facebook status, LOL, won't that be fun? You know, whatever it is. But, like, why are we so, we're so afraid. We're so afraid of the computer and Facebook. Oh, we all look so good on Facebook, don't we?
So good.
I'm amazing on Facebook. I don't know about you. I'm, like, so perfect.
I'm not at all dressed like a giant strawberry from when I was the strawberry in NYU Strawberry Festival. That's not there at all. No, I mean, it's just, I think computers have made it so weird. Online dating is just so, like, I just don't get it. And when you're supposed to meet the person, well, how long are we supposed to talk before we meet? I don't know the answer.
You and I can.
We're already there. We're connected. Okay. We're connected. But that's a question I would assume that people ask a lot. All right, so we've been chatting online for a little bit. When should we meet, Emily?
When you feel like the person is not going to kill and or rape you.
There you go. There you go. And for each person, that feels a little bit different.
It does. They're a lot different.
That's very funny. Well, one of the questions, I'm not going to read you the question, but it was very interesting. One of the people in the book, they said, I would call myself a Christian, and they said that they are very curious as to your religion because they noticed that you don't mention God in your answers. Which I thought was both a fascinating question for someone to ask you and also an interesting one for you to put in the book. Why did that one make the cut?
I had to put something in there about religion. I think there's a chapter in there called Losing My Religion.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, and it's basically based on spirituality. But I think... I used to like pray to God all the time. I used to be one of those people that was like, oh dear God, please help me. I have this problem. This is so terrible. I'm in so much pain. This is so awful. Like, you know, please take away my pain, you know, whatever it was. And then I realized, and this is just, I'm just going to sound so terrible, but realized I'm like praying outward towards something. And the truth is it's me. It's, you know, I believe that God is in all of us. And I believe that, you know, Deepak Chopra once said, you are not in the world. The world is in you.
Right.
So I am what God is, if there is, you know, whatever, you know, everybody has different names of it, you know, the Christians and, you know, whatever religion we have, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all the same. So I try not to have any beliefs, you know, because I think beliefs limit our thinking. So I try not to be so, God, look, here I am. I wrote a book about advice. I'm like, I don't have beliefs. look, I am never wrong, okay?
That's the important thing. That's the important thing.
But I think we're here on this earth to experience God or whatever that is, whatever that universal, creative, you know, happy, joyful white light, you know?
Like, right.
To experience that. So that's why I think we're here, and that's why I think when people take it too seriously, it's like, come on, you know? We're only here for a really short amount of time. Let's just have fun.
Well, now, speaking of taking things seriously, the most important day of the year for couples is coming up, Valentine's Day. There's nothing more important in life, I would assume.
No, nothing.
Nothing. What advice do you have for couples that are looking to plan that perfect Valentine's Day? Just that perfect, it has to be perfect. Every element has to be perfect, because obviously this is a very religious holiday for couples.
Oh my God, Ken, you just stressed me out.
That was my goal.
Well, I think, you know, it would be a great thing, I think, for Valentine's Day. You can do like a scavenger hunt.
Ooh, partner. Nice.
So you leave like little notes all over, you know, the home, who's ever home, your own home, or their home, the joint home. But you leave little notes. So like one note would say like, this is where we watch our favorite show, The Walking Dead. And then it would lead that person like to behind the TV. You know what I mean? And then you take that note and then it leads you to like 20 different notes, you know? And by the time, you know, I think the first one you leave, like, should be in the mailbox, so you know they're going to check the mail on the way home or something. And then, you know, it ends up where they're, you know, they somehow get to the bedroom and they open the door and then you're just there naked.
Nice.
Yeah.
And is there a note on you or?
There could be. There
okay.
Could be.
I didn't know if it's self-explanatory at that point, like you win.
It might be self-explanatory. I don't know. I don't know if it really, really, you know.
Depends on the relationship.
It does. You could be like, oh, you're naked again? Get out of here.
I wanted to win. Where's my oh, you are. Okay. That's a fun Valentine's Day.
They're laying there with somebody else. Like, that's the gift.
There you go. There you go. That's a whole different clue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different book.
That would be my favorite. That would be the winning one.
That's so funny. Oh, I like this one too. I like that you include the quote from Ellen that says, I'm a lesbian, an Aquarian, and a vegetarian. It really, my favorite chapter is I Want to Hold Your Hand. It's all good stuff. I have to tell you, there's some funny stuff in this book. You definitely, you're funny.
Well, thanks, Ken.
We do have to talk about your musical choices for this week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
This is very exciting. This is the part, and now no pressure on you, except there is a ton of pressure on you because this is the part of the show where our guests do a little self-analysis about what their musical choices say about them. So this is a little pressure on you because this is what you do. So I'm going to read you the songs that we've been playing all episode long, and you need to tell us what your songs say, Emily Wilcox. You can do it in third person if you want to. Whatever makes it easier for you.
Okay.
You ready? What does, and I love when I have all the songs already on my iPod. These are three of my favorite songs. What does the Beach Boys' Why Do Fools Fall in Love say about Emily Wilcox?
I am such a fool. people fall in love for like so the wrong reasons. We fall in love based on who we were as children, basically, and what we believed as kids and how our parents raised us. And then we go out and we choose partners and significant others based on childhood beliefs and based on who our father was or who our mother was. It's like absurd. So we're all fools until we really love ourselves and then just want somebody to love us for us.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Well, idiots, Ken.
Well, it transitions nicely to what does George Michael's Faith say about Emily Wilcox?
Okay, Ken, this is easy. This is easy. Let us all be in a great relationship and love our mates and have faith that we will not cheat.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Like, let's all have faith that we all want to have sex with other people when we're in relationships. We don't, people think we get in a relationship, oh, this sex is so great, and then it all fades out, and like 10 years down the line, you're like, oh my God, I want to sleep with that person, you know? And, you know, let's all just hope we don't.
There you go. You'd be out of a job.
Yeah, or we can get permission from our significant others to then go and sleep with that person. That'd be okay too, as long as you're not, being out of integrity.
Right. Oh, integrity is a big piece. That's a big piece. And then my favorite, this is one of my favorite songs of all time. Of all time. What does the Go-Go's Head Over Heels say about Emily Wilcox?
This is, you're going to make me cry, Ken.
Oh, okay.
Deep.
Go for it.
This is the song.
This is a safe place.
This is the song that I run to on the treadmill every morning.
I do too. Not every morning, but it's on my running mix.
It is. Isn't it the best?
It's the best.
Like hike up the elevation and run upwards and sweat, and then everybody's looking at you and you're totally showing off at this point.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm so fast and so good and so in shape, and you are just like so jealous of me.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Except for all those things that you just said. Yes, absolutely. I run to it. It's like the perfect beat to do the Molly Ringwald dance from A Breakfast Club.
Oh, don't you love that dance?
I love that dance. But this is like the Go-Go's, that Head Over Heels. And then it goes right into Vacation, and I kick it up a little bit more. It's a great song.
I would.
It's a great song. Hey, you know, you threw that word out there, that L word. And I would love to talk about that L word for a little bit, that being love, not lesbian. One thing that I know freaks people out is when, and I would assume this is a question you've gotten countless times before, when do we use the word? When is it too soon? When is it, I would hope it's never too late, but maybe sometimes it's too late because someone is waiting for it. It freaks some people out. Like, I can't believe they used that word so soon. When do we use the word love?
Okay. You use the word love when you don't question whether they are going to be freaked out or that they love you back.
Mm.
So it's sort of the innate feeling you have. If you're wondering, like, oh, should I say it, or oh, I'm scared, or, you know, probably not the good time.
Okay. So then step two, you use the word because you think they're not going to freak out, and they freak out. What do you do?
Then you question your own, gut.
There you go.
Then you really listen. You have some good time to yourself for some introspection. And what made you think that person was where you were?
Yeah.
You know? And it's okay if you say you love somebody and they don't love you back. Maybe there's, I mean, first of all, it's so terrible. It's so awful. It happened. But you know, again, you know, the important thing in that moment is to know it's not you. It doesn't matter. If they say they don't love you back, it's not you. You're lovable because you're alive. That's your inherent gift in this world. It's your birthright. You are worthy and lovable and worthy of all the good things in life simply because you were born. You don't need to do anything or be anyone or say anything in order to have that's
yeah.
yours, you know? So if someone says they don't love you, who cares? Well, you know, who cares? You know, you don't, you know. And maybe they're not there yet because, you know, I mean, my first guess would be because they've got commitment issues.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel you're there and you say it and they don't, I would really be like, well, I think this person might have some issues with commitment, which only means they have issues with abandonment.
Hmm.
You know, people who have commitment issues have issues with abandonment. So you can't really take it personally. You have to go, okay, well, they have their own set of problems because they can't love me.
Right.
Know?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I will say, I'm doing this whole, people who listen to the show know I'm doing this whole time post-marriage now, and people have tons of advice for me about when is too soon to start dating, or no, you need to get back on the horse, and oh, for every year that you were married, that translates into 3 months, which that doesn't even make sense to me of how long you should be single. It's fascinating how everybody has advice.
No, what do you mean post-marriage? Did you recently get married?
No, I recently got divorced.
And how long were you married?
We were together for 9 years.
9 years. Yikes.
Yikes.
That's about long enough.
I love when the relationship expert says yikes.
It's about time to move on after 9 years, I think, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's more about, like, when do you start dating again, and when can you be in a new relationship. It's all fascinating, that the idea of time and when an acceptable amount of time has gone by. It's very, from a thing apart, not as someone who's in the midst of it, it's very interesting to me.
Right. And you know what's funny? The 3 month rule comes up with everything. It's like, oh, well, I'll get, you know, a lot of people go, I'll give this person 3 months to propose to me. 3 months to say they love me, or 3 months to get over that, and 3 months, it's like this 3 month thing, it's magical 3 months.
Wow.
It's amazing, but a lot can happen in 3 months.
A lot. We'll keep everyone posted on that. It's all interesting. I love, look, I've been doing this show for a long time. I love that this is part of my life. I get to talk to great people, and it also dovetails into my own life.
And Ken, you're the only interesting person that I get to talk to.
Look at that.
Like, monumental for me.
Now, do we care where people buy the book? I mean, people can get it on Amazon. Does it matter?
Yeah, Amazon's good.
Okay. Oh, and we should say, I can't believe I left this out. Where do a portion of the profits go?
They go to the Human Rights Campaign.
Why did you do that?
Well, I could go on forever about the ridiculousness of where we're at as far as equality.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just so important. It's so absurd that we're all, like, the same. And I mean, just really at the basic level. I mean, we're just all the same.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're all God, or we're all spiritual, we're all this piece of this, like, wonderful world that we're in, why is it that who are these people that are, like, dictating who can, like, get married under the law? I mean, we can really go into, like, the details of it, but really, at the base of how it is so ridiculous,
yeah.
You know? And so it's important to me that people who buy my book feel like they're also donating to a cause that will help in their lives and in their equality. You know, I think the Human Rights Campaign does such amazing work.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just on it all the time about equality and marriage equality, and it's just nothing is really more important than really all being the same. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think it's great. I have to tell you, it's, as I said, just such a treat reading through this. Your humor comes through, and it goes right back to the word three times on the cover. It says the word real. It just feels real. I feel like this is someone who I can ask a question to. I have a sense of what I'm going to get back, but I still needed to read it.
Ken, you're not going to call me on my free time.
Good luck with that. You know, the restraining orders don't necessarily apply to the phone. You have to be very specific about the order that you get.
Yep. I do know that.
I bet you do. That story is for a whole different show. I have to tell you, Emily Wilcox, the name of the book is 100 Lesbians Walk Into a Bar. You can get it on Amazon or wherever it is that you buy books. Such a treat having you on the show.
Thank you so much, Ken. I mean, it was so much fun. It was. I'm going to go back to my boring life now.
Well, we'll have you call back soon, and then we'll spice it up some more.
Sounds great.
All the best. Thanks, Emily.
Happy Valentine's Day.
To you as well. right, folks, and we are back. I did some shots of cold medicine, so good luck with me, Joe Delia. Welcome back to the show, So Gay.
Thank you.
How are you?
I am well, probably more than you are.
I did some shots of cold medicine, so I'm fine. Gay people rock! That was the peace signal. That wasn't the right. What do you do?
No.
Gay people rock!
No.
I'm so happy it's a radio show and people can't see. We need a new, like, gay people rock. Gay people rock!
That's sort of it.
Okay, cool. So, folks, if you weren't able to see that, and most of you weren't, in fact, all of you, know that it's a really cool gesture, and it means that gay people rock. So, this is our Valentine's Day episode of This Show Is So Gay. Happy Valentine's Day.
Why, thank you.
What are you planning on doing with your lovely immigrant wife?
With my wife from Minnesota.
Yes. We just said, that was redundant. We just said the exact same thing.
Yes. We are going to L.A. Burdick's on Friday for dinner.
Wait, is it actually called L.A. Burdick's?
That is, yeah.
I didn't know it had a formal name.
It does have a formal name.
That's right there in the Walpole.
Walpole, New Hampshire.
Look
yes.
at that. It's a hold up. You're taking her. Ooh. Are you allowed to take her across state lines? Gosh. All right. So tune in next week for the deportation case. It's the post-Valentine's Day verdicts. Well, that's lovely. You guys go there for Valentine's Day often.
We do. Yes. Oh. Yes. It's a semi-tradition. Yeah.
Is she critical of food at other places? I would imagine that she is because she is. I do not know if you know this. She is a baker.
She is, in fact, a baker, and she is a huge fan of Burdick's. Although, we definitely have some critiques sometimes on the desserts.
Okay.
But the food, we generally are very, very happy with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she likes making the lefse and the Lufthansa. What? She's real. I've had her Lufthansa.
Uh-huh. Really? You've flown via the Lufthansa?
I felt like it. Her food transports me. I'm sorry that it doesn't have the same effect on you. So that let's just establish that right now. Good luck on Valentine's Day with your immigrant wife. All right, so Valentine's Day gay marriage stories.
Yeah.
I wish we had some. Oh, wait. So Prop 8.
Yeah.
I know, it's so funny talking about, like, crazy huge stories. Not that I like covering the little tiny stories, although I love covering the little tiny stories.
Well, yeah.
It's just always funny covering the huge stories because everybody else is covering them. And I don't know that I have some insight. I don't know that you have some insight. I don't know that we have some insight that other people don't have.
Right.
But if you are somehow living underneath a rainbow rock in Minnesota, then you should know that a federal appeals court has ruled California's Proposition 8 unconstitutional. That was just yesterday. Which upholds retired U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker's 2010 decision in the high-profile case and setting up what could be an eventual showdown over the ballot measure at the U.S. Supreme Court. Judge Anthony Scalia has already... No, he didn't say anything. But you can imagine that he's...
I'm sure he's...
He's already...
Getting ready.
Gearing up for it.
To say a thing.
So one of the judges, it was a split decision, it was a three-judge panel. One of the judges, Judge Stephen Reinhart, he wrote in his opinion, quote, "Although the Constitution permits communities to enact most laws they believe to be desirable, it requires that there be at least a legitimate reason for the passage of a law that treats different classes of people differently." He reasoned that Proposition 8 had a clear discriminatory and blatantly unconstitutional aim to strip gay couples of a right, quote, they previously possessed from the state, the right to obtain and use the designation of marriage to describe their relationships. He further went on to say that the ballot measure, quote, serves no purpose and has no effect other than to lessen the status and the human dignity of gays and lesbians in California and to officially reclassify their relationships and families as inferior to those of opposite sex couples. That sounds about right.
That sounds about right.
I wish we could play the cymbals for that. Thank you. But for those of you wondering, all right, so are Jody and Jen going to run out to California and get married? The answer is no, for two reasons. One, because apparently they're married. And two, because weddings of same-sex couples will not resume immediately in California. All right, so that is going on. That's a big deal.
That is a huge deal. A
lot of op-eds about that.
Yeah.
You should read the op-eds. They say it better. I'm not saying that we're dumb.
No.
We're not insightful. It's just there are other people who say it better than we do. Now, in other news, other happy Valentine's Day gay marriage news. All eyes are on the state of Washington. Have you been to Washington?
I have not.
I want to go to Washington.
I'd like to go sometime.
I hear Seattle is nice. I would I like Seattle. Too. Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can deal with a very rainy place. So over in Seattle, Washington State House lawmakers are set to begin debate today, Wednesday, on a marriage equality bill already approved by the Senate. While poised for passage, Governor Chris Gregoire has vowed to sign the bill, which has overwhelming House support. The legislation could face a voter referendum in the fall. Why did you sigh? Do you not like when the voters vote on gay marriage?
I just get sick of this whole thing. I really do. I get sick of the repetitive nature of the arguments being, oh, man and woman, man and woman, when there's so much out there saying, look, this does not impact your marriage. You don't have to get a gay marriage at all. It doesn't impact the sanctity of what you feel is a holy union between you and your chosen spouse at all.
Do you think there's a silver bullet? Do you think that, because when you were saying that, I'm thinking, all right, so that argument has not worked.
We've tried it and it hasn't worked.
But then I started thinking, but are we just in a place where there's no argument that can work? There's no silver bullet. But I also want to believe that there is some silver bullet, just something that makes it so clear to people that this is discriminatory and it's a personal decision between two people and it doesn't affect you and don't vote for Santorum. Like something that does all of those things.
You know, we've been working on it for so long and so intensively, in some places certainly much harder than in others. I would have thought we would have found it by now. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. We've tried so many different things and thinking, oh, this is it. This has got to make sense.
It's going to make them see.
And then it doesn't. Then they don't. And I think for some folks, certainly being stuck in a way of viewing the world happens all the time. People are stubborn. People are afraid of change. People are afraid of things that are different. Certainly there is in one's sort of ancient dog brain, that sort of fight or flight risk and reward center is programmed to sort of assess, is this threatening because it is different from me?
Right.
And you just kind of go there. And I think, unfortunately, it's at that basic level of, it is different, I fear it.
Yeah. I just want the rights.
Me too.
Don't care what it's called. I don't care what it's called.
I
don't care.
I just want it to be equal.
Yeah.
If it was called something else, if everyone else had that same thing, then great.
Yeah. Yeah. In New Hampshire, nearby New Hampshire,
next door,
some LGBT activists are upset about a legislator's use of official letterhead and the state seal on a mailing that seeks to drum up support for rescinding marriage equality in the state.
Hmm.
Representative David Bates, a Republican, and that's just part of it. I'm not saying that he did this because he is a Republican. I'm just saying factually he has registered as a Republican.
Yes, yes.
He sent out a letter which reads in part, quote, very soon the New Hampshire legislature will vote on legislation I filed last year to restore traditional marriage in our state. If you believe that our marriage law should define marriage the way we've always known it, the union of a man and a woman, then please contact your representatives to support House Bill 437. Bates is using his own money for the mailing, and officials with the New Hampshire Secretary of State's office say it's okay for any legislator to use the seal, but some supporters of marriage equality are objecting. One of them, Tyler Deaton, a lobbyist with the pro-equality group Standing Up for New Hampshire Families, also known as SUNHUF. Okay, I don't think they do the acronym.
Probably
I just
not.
Like when it's a good acronym.
Right.
He said, quote, this is showing up in people's mailboxes trying to make it appear that it's official state business. That's not news. This is lobbying. You can't blur the lines that way.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. That was kind of a funny pause because I'm thinking it through and it's stationary. And
right.
But all right.
Although, I mean, if you want to kind of get really penny pinching, yes, taxpayers somehow along the line paid for that stationery. So yes, you can make that argument.
Yeah. So people can get in touch with SUNHUF and they can connect you with more resources there to decry the state seal being used. So that's going on. although everything is better than it is in Uganda.
Generally, that is true.
A Ugandan lawmaker has, by the way, we're now done with the Valentine's Day portion.
We're moving on to the doomsday portion.
Moving on to apocalyptic, or as they say, see, you don't watch this show.
No, I don't.
I don't understand how you even wake up in the morning knowing that you have not watched RuPaul's Drag Race. I don't understand how you get through your day. I could see you getting through to about 8 a.m. and then thinking, I can't do anything else. I haven't watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
But see,
I don't get it.
I've started to watch Downton Abbey, and it's so much better.
Oh, that's enjoyable. Yeah. I totally support that. But you must start watching RuPaul's Drag Race, because one of the drag queens who was perhaps eliminated this week, LaShawn Beyond. That's a spoiler, so oops. LaShawn cannot say apocalyptic.
Oh.
Because they had to save humanity from the Rupocalypse, and LaShawn says a pop a plop predict. It amuses me. But anyway, yes, we move on to the apocalyptic. You must start watching this show.
I don't think I will.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I see you, and I validate you, but you must start watching RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm just saying. A Ugandan lawmaker has revived I was so nervous this bill was dead, thank God. A Ugandan lawmaker has revived a controversial bill that makes engaging in some homosexual acts punishable by...
Death!
Death!
I guessed that one.
The anti-homosexuality bill was first proposed in October 2009. When did I go to Uganda? 2010. Prompting threats from some European nations to cut aid to Uganda, which relies on millions of dollars from foreign countries. It was later shelved, with a Ugandan government spokesman saying late last year that the bill was killed because it did not reflect a national consensus. But now it is back. The bill is popular among some lawmakers in the nation, and it remains a simmering issue in the parliament. Its progress has been hindered by an international outcry, including condemnation from President Barack Obama. In addition to proposing the death penalty for certain gay acts, it calls for anyone aware of violations to report them to the authorities or face criminal sanction, according to the Human Rights Watch. So let's keep in mind that, crazy as it was, that Rick Santorum won three states yesterday. Three states. Colorado and Missouri and another state.
Minnesota.
Was it?
Yes.
I just had that pause.
It was, in fact, Minnesota.
So, alarming as that is, and horrid as his rhetoric proves to be, Mr. Santorum, we're not in Uganda. So yay! Happy Valentine's Day. So there's that. Ellen, we never get to talk about Ellen. Oh, you know who you have to give a shout out to?
Who?
You don't give shout outs to friends of yours who listen to the show. And let me tell you, I often give shout outs to people who I know listen to the show, and it makes them very happy. Should you know someone who listens to this show, you should give them a shout out. I'm just saying, fit it in somewhere.
Okay.
I just paused to give you a space.
I would like to give a shout out to my friend Jen Marin, who listens to the show all the time and loves the conversations that happen here, both in interviews and between us and whoever else is conversing with you.
Look at that.
So there
Shout out Jen. Is she a member of the Facebook group?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
Very dedicated.
We'll get her a magnet.
Oh, she'd love that.
Okay. I'll get her a magnet.
Yes.
It can be a
belated birthday present. She had a birthday recently.
She was 30.
Nine.
Okay. So that's very exciting, because she enjoyed our conversation about Cynthia Nixon.
Yes.
And that story just goes on and on. People are still talking about that story. I don't even want to talk about that story. Someone posted on iBrattleboro. And if you don't know what iBrattleboro is, my God, are you lucky. I will just say you are the luckiest person. But if you want to know, just go to iBrattleboro.com. And it's this e-meeting place, e-town square, virtual town square, for really bitter people here in the Brattleboro, Vermont. And so someone posted on there. I didn't tell you about this. The subject of the posting was something like, being born so gay, the sad state of affairs. So I'm thinking, well, I thought I would respond and say, well, they're obviously doing a play on our show.
Right.
But I was also doing it in kind of a very egotistical way. There's no way that they're doing... Totally, they were responding to the article about the show in the Commons. And so it's this whole bit, which I give no stock to, except that people should voice their opinions, and that I give stock to.
Sure.
But this particular opinion about how the gay people exclude bisexual people, and bisexual people are really pansexual people, and everyone is pansexual. And that is the entirety of the article. So it's really silly. So that's going on.
Wow.
Being Born So Gay, The Sad State of Affairs, there on iBrattleboro.com. And people keep posting. It's been viewed thousands of times. I wish that thread would just go away, because it's not bringing anything. Ellen DeGeneres, who we never get to talk about, and I adore her.
She's great.
We never get to say how much I love Ellen. I also love Rosie. I am a Rosie fan.
I like Rosie, too.
Yeah, some people, they're very not with the Rosie.
Oh. I mean, I know she pushes some buttons, but, you know.
Be my Facebook friend. You can see a picture of me and Rosie O'Donnell at a Planned Parenthood event back in 2003 or something like that.
Wow.
It was really fun.
Cool.
So Ellen, the big drama with Ellen is all about JCPenney, that she's a JCPenney spokesperson. I had to really look up what JCPenney was. Turns out, department store. Did you know? I know. That's why I tell you these things. You didn't know.
No, I
you totally didn't know, Jody.
Uh-huh.
So it's a department store that they have in Minnesota, and they are, Ellen is a spokesperson, and this group, 1 million moms, by the way, how much you want to bet that there aren't 1 million moms in the 1 million moms group? They are a subsidiary of some other group, the American Family Association. They don't like the gays. And the 1 million moms don't either. And so they were trying to do a boycott of JCPenney. And Ellen, this has been going on for a little bit now. And Ellen finally said that she is proud and happy that retail store JCPenney has stood by her.
Mm.
She said, quote, "For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, it's true. I'm gay. I hope you were sitting down. The 1 million moms wanted to get me fired, and I'm proud and happy to say that JCPenney, which is a department store, Jody, in Minnesota, stuck by their decision to make me their spokesperson. Being gay or pro-gay isn't a bandwagon. You don't get a free ride anywhere. There's no music, and occasionally we'll sing We Are Family, but that's about it." So that's... That's Ellen talking about JCPenney. There's also this group, Dogs Against Romney. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, I totally. If there's a Facebook, I got to go look up if there's a Facebook group, because I'm totally joining. It's Dogs Against Romney, because it's all about that Mitt Romney story where they strapped the dog to the... You didn't hear this?
No, what is
this? Oh,
this
is like the quintessential Mitt Romney story. It has nothing to do with this show. It's okay. The family was going on a 12-hour ride, and they strapped the carrier on top of the car, and they put the dog on top of the car, and they said, oh, the dog likes it, except they had to stop the car when they saw, I kid you not, when the kids saw poop coming down the back windshield, and so then they stopped the car and let the dog out, but then they put the dog right back in the carrier on top of the car. And not only are they idiots for doing this, but as Wanda Sykes would say, they're stupid idiots for telling people that they did this, because it's not like anybody knew. Anyway, Dogs Against Romney, the cold medicine just totally kicked in.
Yeah,
so I'm not coughing at all, but I'm really upset about Mitt Romney. Over on Rolling Stone, rollingstone.com, I assume it's in the, you know, sometimes I don't know if things are in the actual publications or if they're just online. My assumption is it's in the actual publication, but I only read things online. But over on rollingstone.com, everybody should go to rollingstone.com, because they have an amazing, amazing piece called One Town's War on Gay Teens. Mm. And it's all about gay teens who are fighting back in Michelle Bachmann's home district.
Ooh, that's
good. It's how the evangelicals have created an extreme anti-gay climate, and after a rash of suicides, the kids are fighting back. It's a really, really, really great piece.
Cool.
So stroll on over to rollingstone.com to go read One Town's War on Gay Teens. And that's like really it for, oh no, that's not it. We have another story.
Okay.
Oh, this is such a Jody story. I can't believe we didn't talk about Ken and Jody story. So Roland Martin, who is a commentator on CNN, he has posted an apology because he had something to apologize for. So he was tweeting during the Super Bowl, and this is what he tweeted. So he tweeted Sunday after retailer H&M's Super Bowl commercial featured soccer player David Beckham. He tweeted, quote, "If a dude at your Super Bowl party is hyped about David Beckham's H&M underwear ad, smack the expletive out of him." Huh.
Wow.
And then he later said he was making fun of soccer fans, not gay men. Earlier in the day, he had posted on his Facebook fan page that, quote, a New England Patriot they just showed in a head-to-toe pink suit needs a visit from, and then something, another expletive. So he, this is a CNN commentator, so GLAAD demanded that CNN fire him. And several other organizations, including the National Black Justice Coalition, they objected to, they didn't say fire them. They, all these organizations objected to his comments, mm-hmm. as did numerous bloggers and individuals on its website. So he apologized. He said, quote, based on several tweets I made on my Twitter feed on Super Bowl Sunday, I've been accused by members of the LGBT community of being supportive of violence against gays and lesbians and bullying. That is farthest from the truth, and I sincerely regret any offense my words have caused. So GLAAD has said, well, that's a start, but you really need to go out there and do some work with the gay community. So we're right back into the age-old Ken and Jody story of what kind of apology does it.
Right, yeah.
Did that do it for you? Did that apology do it for you? This is a CNN commentator, Roland Martin.
I agree with the follow-up comment that he needs to do more than that. Is the apology well-worded? Yeah. It's well-worded.
Oh, he didn't write it. But, that's why it's well-worded.
Well,
that's a spin
whoever
machine.
Wrote it, it was well-worded. Yeah. Whether, you know, his agent or his dog on his car roof.
Oh.
But whoever worded it.
Dogs Against Romney. Yeah.
Did a decent job of wording it. However, yeah, now what? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yeah. Because more people, I can almost guarantee that more people read your tweet than read that statement on your website.
Yeah, probably.
Not that many people are going to your website, dude.
No, no.
They read your Facebook post and they read your tweets.
Right.
So I'm curious. I would actually like to look. And folks can look on their own and go see if he tweeted that as well.
Right.
I wonder if he even tweeted that. He might not have. Mm. He might not have. So that was it. That's the story I wanted to cover. Mm. All right. So we have a lot of exciting things happening here on This Show Is So Gay that we want to tell you about. You should, of course, go over to the Facebook and type in This Show Is So Gay and like us, which I was decrying the last time that you were on, that we were hovering at around 998. But then we had Dick and Dwayne on the show, and that just blew that 1,000-person ceiling. That blew that away. So
that's excellent.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So join the thousands, because once you have 1,001, you can say thousands, right? I think that's true. You can
It's not multiple thousands yet. It is over 1,000.
Join the thousands of people. I can't believe that you're trying to keep this show down. Gay people rock! I did the symbol again. People couldn't see it, the gesture.
You did the gesture.
So join the thousands of Facebook fans there on the Facebook by typing in The Show Is So Gay. You should, of course, send an email. Send it on over. If you want the recipe for Lufthansa, you need to send an email to Jody@thisshowissogay.com. Anything else, send it to Ken@thisshowissogay.com. And go to our website, and you can check out upcoming guests. Next week is really exciting. Next week I'm excited. We have Zach Mordechai Levovitz, who is an actor, a comic, and a singer. He's going to be on. And one of our favorite guests of all time, Mariah Hansen, who is president of The Dyna. And we're going to talk all about The Dyna. This year I'm going on The Dyna.
Okay.
Well, how would I do on a lesbian cruise?
I don't know. I think they'd find you fun.
I'm more worried about whether I would find it fun.
I don't know.
Okay. Have you been on a lesbian cruise before?
I have never.
You wouldn't do it.
No.
March 28th through April 1st, 2012. Am I available? I'm totally available. I'm going. I'm going to go to Palm Springs, California. I'm going to The Dyna.
Yeah, that's strange.
But I need a purpose. So we're going to talk to Mariah Hansen next week. If I don't have a purpose on The Dyna, if I'm not hosting a karaoke night or something like that, there's no reason I'm going to The Dyna. Okay. I've never been around that many lesbians.
You'll be okay.
Okay. And Paula Poundstone is going to be there.
That would be fun.
Oh, and all these other people. I'm totally going to The Dyna. All right, so that's going on. So that's next week. And then the week after that, Adam Sank, who is a hilarious comic, he is going to be on the show. And then we have all these other people too. So you should stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun people who are going to be on the show coming up. And right there, you can subscribe to our show on iTunes, and then you don't have to download it every week. It's just that easy. So that's pretty much it from our end. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Have a lot of fun at Burdix. And happy Valentine's Day to you all. And take that relationship advice to heart. So says Emily Wilcox, author of 100 Lesbians Walk Into a Bar. proceeds go to the Human Rights Campaign, a portion of them. So you should go to Amazon and buy 100 Lesbians Walk Into a Bar. Get out there, go do some amazing things. And while you're doing those things, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?